And at what point did you know you would be coming back?
Well, pretty quickly. We were in touch, but then really like a matter of 24 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. And were you considering like any places, or did you kind of have a sense that, this is where a good opportunity was?
Well, I mean, I told these guys at the end of the year, last year, that, I was hoping to come back. I was looking for an opportunity, a place that I could get at bats. Mm-hmm.
You played a lot of second, of course, but there's a lot of room or possibilities at first here, and mm-hmm. you're comfortable there too.
I mean, I haven't played there hardly at all, but it's a position that, at this point in my career, like I told Kaz, I'll do whatever it takes to be in the lineup, but I asked him to keep an open mind because I'm moving well, and I was moving well at the start of the year until I had a couple foot injuries, and everything kind of, obviously your range and sprint speed and all that stuff they measure are going to decrease when, you got a bone bruise and a broken foot.
But you're feeling really good now, though.
Yeah, moving around great, and, got out here yesterday for the first time. I've been doing everything back in Houston that we would do here, but until that adrenaline level picks up, and when I'm out on a high school field by myself, it's a little bit different than being around the guys.
Hey, at the end of last year, you had the wrist or hand
mm-hmm.
issue. How did you end up having anything done for that, or was it just like a rest thing?
Yeah, it was just a rest thing. Okay. Yeah, it ended up being a hairline fracture in my hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we did all the tests just to make sure that, no surgery was required. And the hand doctor, same guy who did my thumb surgery a few years back, said, I'm comfortable with it, just giving it time. I don't think we need surgery.
And so are you feeling okay? Feeling like hitting both sides now? And I think it was just left-handed at the end of last year.
No, it was opposite.
I was
right hand bat in my hand. So that's, you look at the last 3 weeks of the season, I was only hitting left-handed.
Yeah.
And I was being pinch hit for, when a lefty was going on the mound, because I could barely hold a bat in my hand when it was my top hand.
It feels okay now, though.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw me hit yesterday.
I did, yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So.
Offensively, it was last year's real bounce back here, good year for you. Mm. Do you feel that's carrying forward then from what you were able to do in the offseason and get ready?
Yeah, I mean, I had a very productive offseason. I was able to do what I did last year with really only a month of workouts because I was rehabbing from knee surgery. And this year I had a fully healthy offseason where I got all my workouts in.
Another familiar face is back in Stephen Boat.
Yeah.
You guys were here.
Yeah, sure.
Years ago for a while.
Yeah.
How cool is that, kind of just to reunite with him and having him back in the clubhouse?
Of course. I mean, that's one of my favorite teammates of all time. So, getting the opportunity to play with him again, it's exciting.
And I know, like last year, Matt Olson, for example, kind mm. of credited you for kind mm. of his success. Mm. With a clubhouse with a lot of young guys and they're trying to kind of find their way, is this kind of an opportunity for you to kind of help out? If they come to you for advice, is that something that you're kind of willing to do, just kind of help
yeah,
out?
No, I love that side of it. I still know I'm, productive and going to help in a lot of ways, but I enjoy talking hitting and, where I'm not the hitting coach,
right.
So I'm certainly not going to pretend that I am. But if anybody has questions, I'm always an open book to talk about it.
How did you sort of either get yourself ready or try to stay ready during that lockout period?
Nothing changed really. It was just no conversations, obviously, right? Which it got. We're like 2.5 weeks late for me now in spring training. So I think the hard part is like that 3 month process became compressed so much that I think that was really the only different part is once the lockout ended, kind of expectations and continuing to put the work in. But up until that point, nothing changed.
Did you get any live at bats? Have you seen live pitching?
I have not.
Okay,
no, so. And that was something that I figured once I got here I would do. And once the lockout ended, all the guys that were there throwing were gone.
Yeah.
And so that's something that, like I said, I'm 2.5 weeks late. We gotta catch up, but this stuff takes time though too.
Yeah. I don't know if you can guesstimate how much time it takes to kind of get ready for a season, but with, you know, I think less than 2 weeks or 2 weeks-ish before opening day, how many at-bats or how long does it usually take you to sort of get?
That's going to be impossible for me to say. I'm not going to even venture a guess, because it's a, you know, there's a reason we have 6 week spring training normally, right? And so I'm not saying it's going to take me 6 weeks to get ready, because I'm in a good place. I've been doing the like spring training like workouts. But like building up, just like I said yesterday, like getting that adrenaline, getting in the box, like that's the type of stuff you have to build up to protect yourself from injury and to get your timing and be ready to play and contribute. So, yeah, I would be foolish to guess how long that was going to take, but there's a reason that it takes, you know, that we are in spring training as long as we are.
You're a process guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you there's a pattern, and there's obviously there's success with that. Given what you're facing now, I mean, do you cram? Do you go out? How much outside of your comfort zone do you go to feel like on April 8th I can contribute to this club in a way that you know that you're capable of?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, we just have to play that by ear. I mean, that's, you know, what, 11 days from now? I can't really commit to anything, because I just don't know. I've never been in this position before. And so, you know, like I said, I just got to take it day by day and build up, because I think you look at what happened in the pandemic year where we had the summer camp, right? You look at the number of injuries that happened after that. That's why we have this build up in spring training, to protect guys through the course of the season.
Is the plan to take a lot of ground balls at first base?
I think that's where, they're going to ask me to probably do a lot, would be my guess. And so we'll once again see how that plays out. I've asked them to keep an open mind. I don't need to play second base every single day. But I've just asked them to keep an open mind and to evaluate me based on, you know, the way I'm moving, not, you know, some preconceived notion based on numbers that, you know, that were, in my opinion, irrelevant at the end of the year based on injury.
So you're talking more so being the option that you've been in the past at second base.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, let's just keep an open mind, right? And so I told Kaz, whatever I got to do to get in the lineup, whatever that means for you guys, I'm just asking them to keep an open mind.
Because last year, with early spring training last year, all we heard is Jed Lowry was moving really well over camp, and, you know, okay, well, let's see it, and we saw it. And,
yep.
I mean, you talk the talk and you walk the walk kind of thing. I mean, so you feel confident that I'm in a place that just let me get out on the field, let you guys see what I'm doing, and
that's all I'm asking, right? And like that's, you know, like I said, I came into camp last year in the same position, and, you know, just say, just see how I'm moving, and we can, you know, we can discuss from there. And you know, like I said, it's just an open mind is all you can ask for.
And you've been around a pretty talented bunch here.
Sure.
The past few years, and several of those names are gone.
Sure.
So how do you relay messages inside that clubhouse about being ready to play, you know, do the things you need to do for yourself personally, mm-hmm. and then collectively as a team, hopefully that gives us a chance to win kind of thing. What do you tell young players right now, or different guys?
I don't think it changes. I don't think the mentality can change, whether you're a 10-year guy or you're a rookie. You know, you're all obviously starting at different points, but the mantra always has to be, how do I get better, right? And presumably, once you're a more established guy, you're not making huge strides and getting better. But I think the mentality still has to be, how do I get better every single day? And that's going to lead to the results that you want, one way or the other, right? Like if you can maintain that mentality. And so, you know, expectations aside, you know, if you're getting better, then you're going in the right direction.
You're ready to keep playing.
Well, I mean, listen, I had what I thought was a really good year last year. And you look at a lot of the statistics that they supposedly use to predict performance. I had very good batted ball statistics last year. I was, one of the guys that was singled out as one of the quote-unquote most unlucky hitters in the game last year based on my batted ball statistics.
Yeah, hard contact.
Yeah, barrel percentage, chase rates, heart, yeah, all that stuff, right? If you go and you look at my Baseball Savant, you know, and you see where I ranked, it was a really good year for me with the batted ball statistics.
How did the hand thing, was it on a swing that just happened over time that it kind of?
No, I was on one swing where I got jammed, and usually where I hit the ball, usually the bat breaks. The ball left seam marks in the barrel, it was in the barrel on the label where I hit it. And instead of the bat breaking, I got my hand. Yeah, so it was one of those games where, the shot, it was like the, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock game where the shadows were kind of, tough. And I just hit a ball right off the label and the bat didn't break and got my hand instead.
Remember who's pitching?
I think it was the Yankees. I don't remember. It might have been. I think it, I know it was. It was the lefty, Montgomery. Does that sound right?
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was that Sunday night game.
Okay.
Yeah, because when we
Wiener lights. Yeah.
Yeah, because we play. I think it was like the 5 o'clock game. Yeah, exactly. Like right when the shadows were bad. So. Yeah.
Awesome.
It was very. Yeah. I hit it and I walked right back into the. It was like a little short fly ball. I walked right back in the dugout and I told the trainer, I was like, that hurt my hand. So.
Which numbers do you pay attention to when you're talking about like batted ball statistics. When you look at that kind of stuff, which numbers do you pay attention to?
Well, I've been told that the two best indicators would be barrel percentage or ranking and then chase rate as far as like future performance. But then, you also look at average exit velocity, right? I think that matters to a certain degree. Obviously, ground balls are going to be, if you hit a lot of hard ground balls, that's going to skew that higher. But I think it's also, if you look at that versus like a line driver fly ball rate, then I think hard hit percentage makes a big difference. Excuse me. I'm not sophisticated enough yet to know the expected batting averages, expected slugging and all that.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you look at that, my percentages in the league last year were strong.
Yeah. Any of those stats that start with an X out of the league?
It seems to be a little bit of a black box, but, supposedly that's what they look at for a lot of this stuff. But, that's... I'm not sophisticated enough to understand it quite yet.
Yeah, a lot of those out there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Great. Cool.
Good. Yeah.
Welcome back. Thanks, guys.
How's your family?
Everybody's good. Sage is playing softball.